We're doing the Sefer HaMidot, and the Magid Midovna had been describing how one of the sorry things in the world is the instances where people charge forward thinking that they're doing something positive, when in fact they're hurting themselves, they're doing an Avera at the very time that they're excited because they think they're doing a mitzvah. And he illustrated two examples from Tanakh, and he continues with the third example, V'chein inyan Shaul b'milchemet Amalek. And the same concept we see when Shaul went and fought his battle against Amalek, Shgaga yatza mitacht yado, he erred, V'libo haya tamim l'shem shamayim, and his heart was whole for the sake of heaven. He wanted to do what he thought God wanted him to do. So although the prophet said, wipe them all out, he figured out a logic that made sense to him at the time, why he should not kill them all out. And because he was so humble and whole, so he was not a proud person. And when the nation said, let's hold on to the good cattle and sacrifice it, to bring it as sacrifices, he listened to them. And that's what Shmuel tells him. What'd you listen to the nation for? Even if you're humble and you're small in your own eyes, you're the head. You're the leader. So that's another example where someone did something out of humility, out of good intentions, thinking they were doing a mitzvah, and they destroyed themselves in that action. And we find many instances where people were extraordinarily pious, and yet they got off the correct path for the sake of heaven. And they destroyed themselves, and they destroyed for others. And that's part of the cunning of the Yetzer. He makes a mitzvah become an aveira, he makes an aveira into a mitzvah, and he puts on the mask of being the Yetzer Tov, and then he seduces him, and he says, come do a mitzvah. When the guy gets all excited, thinking he's headed for a mitzvah, and really, within it, he's already set up the trap. Let's take an example. You have a father and his sons that were incarcerated. They were all placed in jail, and they figured out how to escape. So they're running away. So the chariot's taking them away, and en route they got off the wagon. So at one point, They got off the wagon, and the wagon ran away from them. So they continued running away, but now they were very embittered. So their father said to them, "Du banai, listen sons, it's better if we don't all travel together at this point. Our hope at this point, now that we've lost the wagon, is that we catch a tramp. That people who are traveling, maybe they'll pick us up and take us and help us run away. Maybe someone will take us for free. And there's no way anyone will take all of us on one wagon. So my advice, the father says, that the next time we hit a fork in the road, we split up. And Hashem should help each of us in the path he ends up taking. So he told them, listen here, when you bump into someone traveling, don't ask him where he's going, or where he's headed. What do you care? All you have to care about is you got to get as far as you can from the jail. The only thing you have to ask him is, are you headed to, and say the name of the town of the jail. Make sure he's not headed backwards. That's what you have to ensure. So long as he's headed away from that town, you don't care where. You go. Don't let him bring you back to the jail we're running away from. Hanimshal. So what's the message of this allegory? King David said, we're compared to a person who's running away from danger. King David said, I run away. I'm looking for an escape from that terrible tornado, from that hurricane. We're spending our life avoiding death. We're running away from death. How do we run away from death? We got to work to make parnasa, to make a livelihood, to have food. And we're trying to avoid the punishments that are post-mortem by dealing with Torah, learning from the sages. But a person has to first check one thing out. Whenever he's working on Torah and mitzvahs and he wants to run away, a person has to ask himself, wait a second, maybe I'm headed on the wagon that's going to head back ultimately to that town where the jail is. I'm spending my life trying to move forward. I'm spending my life trying to acquire things, do positive things in the world. But maybe I'm really heading in a path that's going to lead me exactly what I'm escaping from. And then this will bring us back, just like you have sometimes a bow that boomerangs. You end up shooting and it comes right back at you. As Job said, what I feared most, that's what happened to me. If we make a partnership, God forbid, with a person who's a sycophant, that's a person who speaks sweetly as though he likes you and is interested in what you're interested in, but the Talmud tells us there's a mitzvah to publicize people who are fakers, people who are sycophants. That's a Gemara. Why? Because he's going to ultimately bring a person to exactly what he's trying to avoid. Our sages say, you want to learn Torah? You search for a Rebbe that you view as an angel. If you look at him and you value who he is and the what he represents, then you learn Torah from him. So we're going to have to pick up here. It's a long run on thought. We're almost finished with the chapter, unless you guys want to continue 3 more minutes. Finish the chapter or pause here? Finish the chapter. Okay. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that you look at a Rebbe's traits, even though you might say, who am I to judge him? At the end of the day, you have to choose who you're going to learn from. So the simple reading of the Gemara is, look at his traits, and if you see that he is not a nice person, so even though he might know a lot of Torah, don't learn from him. You have to learn Torah from someone who you feel is a positive person. But he's giving us an insight into this Gemara. He says the following. The way angels work, we know, every angel has one responsibility. They each have their responsibility, and it never changes. Because they do what God told them. Their whole purpose is to do what God told them to do. So if an angel's, his whole purpose is to do what God said, so just like God never changes, so too the angel's job never changes. They just have to do what God told them. But that's not the way we people are. We're fickle. Human beings, we're a mixture of good and bad. And it's so easy for a person to do a mitzvah, and he's not doing it because God said so. He's doing it because he has certain gain. He's going to benefit from this angle or that angle. People are going to honor him. He's going to become famous. He's going to be considered great. He's going to have glory. So then, sometimes that's the reason he does things. And if the reason that we do things is because of external stimuli, it's because of something that's external to, other than the fact that God said so, so then we have to adapt. Because we have to adapt to what they're going to admire. If my whole point in doing things is because I want them to admire me, so then I'm going to have to adapt. Because if people see every day I show up on time to Minyan, so at some point everyone gets bored, you know, they're not going to talk about that. So now I have to show up on time and put on a big black hat and grow my pace down to here and open up these big kabbalah farm and everyone should see me shuckling in front of them when they come to shul. And every few months I have to do something else that's new to get people excited. Look at what a big tzaddik I am. So that the Magen Midubna says, if my purpose is them, so I'm always going to have to keep changing. If my purpose is God, so then I can be consistent. God's happy when I show up on time every day for davening. I don't have to do more than that. I'm doing what I have to do. Zeh shamru. So that's what the Talmud was saying. אם הרב דומה למלאך השם צבקות, if the Rebbe is like an angel, אשר עבודתו עבודת תמה ואמיתית, that his service of Hashem is like an angel, his focus isn't what's everyone going to say, his focus is what does God want me to do, so he's consistent. רק אשר ציווה השם, his whole focus is what did God tell me to do, so then אז יבקשו תורה מפיו. Then you seek out Torah from him. And the Magen Midubna ends off with a very interesting thought, because all along he's been developing how the Yetzer Hara can fool a person into thinking he's busy with a mitzvah, and even within the mitzvahs he can get a person to take them out of whack, to take them out of proportion, to get the mitzvah to become an Avera. And he ends off by telling us, A, so the focus has to be, how do I ensure I'm not headed back to death? How do I ensure I'm not headed back from what I want to avoid? Just like the father tells his sons, you just got to make sure you're running away. So you have to make sure that you're avoiding sin, you're avoiding what you want to avoid. He says, it's not enough to say I'm doing a mitzvah. Make sure you're also avoiding going down the path of an Avera. And secondly, he ends off the chapter with the thought that a person has to be consistent. If you want to know that you're doing things for the sake of Hashem, so one of the ways you check that is the consistency. That's how he interprets the Talmud saying how you check out a Rebbe. And I assume that what he's telling us is that that's part of the way we should check ourselves. Am I doing this because of what everyone else is going to say? Am I doing this because of other benefits? Or is it really for the sake of Hashem? Because if it's really for the sake of Hashem, then I could gauge myself. How consistent am I in what I'm doing? Now, I have to add my own two cents here. Part of being human is that we're not 100% consistent. A person shouldn't feel like the wind was taken out of his sails because he doesn't wake up on time every day for davening. So then a person can sometimes say, you see, I'm a faker. No, part of being human is that we're not 100%. And another part of being human is that we're not 100% for the sake of Hashem. It's perfectly normal that when we do things, there's this balance. Part of why we do it is because we want other people to think positively about us. And part of why we do it is because it's for the sake of Hashem. What's the ratio? Are we doing it 3% for Hashem and 97% for ourselves? That's also kosher. The Talmud says, and we'll see it in our parsha too, Lo'olam yasok adam, a person should always deal in Torah and mitzvot shelo lishma, even though he's not doing it for the correct intent. Shemitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. Because the nature of humanity is, you start doing something positive, even if you didn't do it for the right reasons initially, eventually it'll evolve and become better. So we shouldn't let this thought of the Magen Midubna knock us down. So we're not perfect yet. That's normal. The question is, what's the ratio? And so long as we can continue doing things that are positive, even if our intent is not 100%, with time we'll get there.